My name is Rabbi Jonathan Birkin, import from South Florida, and honored to be here, co-chairing with my colleague David Rosen from Houston, Texas, where I spent 4 Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur holidays while I was in seminary. So coming back to Texas for me is also a kind of homecoming. To welcome all of us and all of you, I call now upon Todd Shannon, President of Congregation Chair of Israel.
Shalom, y'all. Good evening, everyone. As president of Congregation Sherith Israel, this year's host congregation, it is my honor and my privilege to welcome y'all here this evening for the Rabbinical Assembly 2014 convention. It is certainly a daunting task looking out at a crowd of people who are used to being the ones standing up here. It's reminiscent of Chaim Weizmann's remark to President Truman that he is the president of 100 million people, but Weizmann heads a nation of a million presidents. Coming together for the furtherance of ideas, discussion, and growth is something that the Jewish people have done for millennia. It was a good idea then, and it's a good idea now. She'ivim pene'im la'Torah. There are 70 perspectives in Torah, and no two people see them exactly alike. Conventions like these offer us the opportunity to grow by learning from each other and gaining respect from our fellow man. Quite an appropriate goal during this time of Sefirat HaOmer. At this time, it's also my pleasure to congratulate our own rabbi on behalf of the cantor, our Clay Kodesh, our staff, our board of directors, our congregation, and our community. We're all very proud of you, and congratulations. Rabbi Gershon has led our congregation with innovation and wisdom and enthusiasm, and I'm sure he will carry on this in this manner as head of the RA. In light of this great honor, I'd like to complete my remarks with one more story about President Harry Truman. On April 12, 1945, he was summoned to the White House, ushered into Eleanor Roosevelt's private sitting room. Then Vice President Truman was gently informed that President Roosevelt had died. He stopped for a moment and said, "Is there anything I can do for you?" Funny, she turned and looked at him and said, "I was going to ask if there's anything we can do for you." "Best of luck, Rabbi. We're very proud of you and we're behind you all the way."
You're honored with several distinguished leaders from the community and family members, loving family members of Rabbi Gershon. I'm going to begin with some greetings from Bradley Lay, interim president and CEO of the Jewish Federation of Greater Dallas.
Good evening and welcome. It's a point of personal privilege to look out and see so many friends who went the path of becoming a rabbi from my days in USY, Ramah, the conservative yeshiva, and see so many smiling faces back, as well as welcoming you to my own congregation, of which I'm proud to be part of the Sherith family. I want to give a special welcome to Julie Schoenfeld, who we hosted in Dallas just over a month ago at what's still being talked about as one of the most engaging and intellectually stimulating events we've had in some time. Thanks for bringing a few more of your friends with you this time down to Dallas. And despite our weather over the past 36 hours, you've entered into what we believe and we know is one of the most warm and welcoming, vibrant Jewish communities in America today. We call it the Big D because big ideas can happen here, big things can happen here. Everything is bigger, as you know, in Texas. And the experiment of a big idea 130 years ago that was called Sherith Israel, which leads us to where we are today, shows you just what's possible. And certainly for the past 16 years, the growth, the energy, the vibrancy that we've experienced here is due in no small part to our senior rabbi, Bill Gershon. As Todd has mentioned, and I will validate, He's an innovator, not afraid to experiment and empower those who he works with and who work for him to experiment, to take leaps, to try new things. Even in the short time I've been in Dallas, the experiments to try and engage young families, young adults, to pray in different ways that we can access our connection to God and to our Jewish tradition and identity. The experimentation that happens at Sherith Israel has been remarkable and has led to the growth of our congregation outside of what you might have expected from just the natural growth of Dallas. He's an intellectual, both as a teacher and as a learner, and I've seen both. So when he's teaching and inspiring people to reach for greater concepts, never dumbing it down, never teaching to the lowest common denominator, but urging and encouraging those that he teaches to rise. And at the same time, being a real dugma when it comes to being a curious person, a learner. And that's notable in the sense that he's become a rabbinic fellow at the Hartman Institute this past year, which was for many years of studying and passionate work at the Hartman Institute. He's articulate, charismatic, passionate, compassionate, and with all of those things, amazingly approachable, relatable, and a friend to so many. He has mentored many who have worked with him, including rabbis Alon Sunshine, Adam Raskin, David Glickman, Joe Manasha, and now David Singer, Adam Rothman, and Shira Wallach, who we're proud to call as our clergy today. And yet, as a senior rabbi, he could sit on those laurels, as a lot of rabbis of large congregations are entitled to do, having earned it, but not Bill Gershon. It was 3 years ago that we approached some senior rabbis in our community to talk about how we can improve relationships between the Federation and our part of the community and our congregations. And I can assure you that this was not the first rodeo that had happened along those lines in Dallas, Texas, under Bill's tenure, but it was the first for mine. And yet, with an open mind, an open heart, and open arms, Bill said, "What do you want to do?" And after bringing a few rabbis to the General Assembly, talking about how we could rise a community together around Jewish literacy and leadership, partner together, invest together, and not so ironically or coincidentally, with the Hartman Institute as a unified curriculum for Reform, Orthodox, and conservative rabbis that had come together to agree to teach emerging and current leadership together by their senior rabbis for that curriculum is a program that we're proud to have partnered and that Bill has been a major part of. That's not enough, though. Bill loves the U.S.-Israel relationship and understands its importance. In our community, Bill is on the National Council of AIPAC, which has also led, and not just by words, but by deeds, by effort, by time, that this past policy conference, we had over 200 Dallasites represented at policy conference, over half of whom were from this congregation. He leads by example. And by one last example, 5 months ago when the Federation, through a groundswell of organic and community support, was urged to launch a community-wide mega-mission to Israel this upcoming January, the big one, that's a great name for it, we approached major congregations. And what might have been a deferment or a pass the buck to a bureaucratic process that often exists in large institutions like the Federation or a large congregation, we had none of that. Bill said, "We're in. What do you need? We're there." That's the kind of leadership he exhibits, and proud to call him a partner. He fundamentally understands that at the end of the day, as a community, we're stronger together. So Bill, on behalf of Cindy Moskowitz, our board chair who's here, our board of directors, our professional team, and the entire organized Jewish community of Dallas, it is our honor and privilege to wish you, Raquel, Eliana, Benji, Yoni, and your extended family, Mazel Tov, and to our family at Sherith Israel, Mazel Tov, and to the Rabbinical Assembly, an excellent choice. And as we always say, may you go from strength to strength. Thank you.
Now to offer greetings, we call upon David Stern, Vice President, Central Conference of American Rabbis.
It's an honor and a privilege for me to bring greetings from the CCAR on this occasion of Rabbi Gershon's installation as President of the Rabbinical Assembly. I'm grateful for Rabbi Schoenfeld's invitation to me as CCAR Vice President for Organizational Relationships, and all of us at the CCAR deeply value our ongoing partnership with the RA on so many issues of importance to our people. But I am here at least in part because I elbowed my way in so I could share some personal words about my friend and cherished colleague Bill Gershon and offer Mazel Tov to Bill, his wonderful Raquel, and to all their family. I am here as a live and willing symbol of Bill's commitment to Jewish ecumenicism, which is only one dimension of his passionate commitment to the Jewish people. He is a constant colleague and collaborator, deeply devoted to this conservative movement. He believes in what denominations can do, and he regularly reaches across denominational lines to make our Dallas Jewish community stronger, in upholding the name of Rabbi, in deepening our pursuit of Jewish learning, in inspiring stronger commitment to Am Yisrael and Medinat Yisrael. On issues big and small, he is always willing to pick up the phone to answer a question or to ask one, and he can text with the best of them. He is confident in his convictions and curious and humble enough to seek new insights every day. All of his clergy colleagues in Dallas have been blessed by the breadth of his vision. Locally and nationally, he brings honor to the name of Rabbi and makes all of us better. Bill is as adept in a conference room or on a conference call as he is on the Bima. A pulpit-pounding, passionate preacher, he is also a master of the art of quiet persuasion, of respectful insistence, of bringing people together so that vague proposals become tangible realities. And he does it all as the consummate teacher and authentic mensch that he is. He gets mad at Jews for all the right reasons, and he loves us all the time. How blessed we all are by your selection of Bill Gershon as your president, so that all of these gifts will now become even broader blessings for our people. At this season of counting, we are blessed beyond measure. May he and this vitally important rabbinical assembly he will lead always go from strength to strength. Mazal tov.
The next three presenters are not seated on the bima because they are mishpacha. So they are seated with mishpacha. So first we're going to call upon Lisa Pomerantz-Boro, who is a sister-in-law and vice president-at-large of the Cantor's Assembly.
How awesome is it that one of my favorite rabbis is also my brother-in-law? So it is a very meaningful honor for me to be here tonight to bring greetings on behalf of the Cantor's Assembly. I feel blessed to have been raised in a rabbinic home where music and davening were as integral as learning our ABCs. Since my father, Avi Mori, is a rabbi, and his father was a chazan, my siblings and I understood from a very early age that we could either become a rabbi or a cantor, or we could marry one. I distinctly remember the very first time my sister Raquel brought Billy home to meet the family. They were both students at the joint program, Billy on track to be a rabbi. It was then that I first learned about the test. You want to know what the test is, right? So our Abba asked Billy to make Kiddush. He chanted loud and proud. He stayed on key. And his Hebrew was pretty decent. Well, not only did he pass with flying colors, his voice was approved to be an honorary member of the family Von Pomerantz Singers. I have always admired Rabbi Gershon's passion, his energy, his wisdom, his gift of speech, His culinary mastery, thank you for breakfast this morning, his courage and his enthusiasm for life. Over the years, I have come to appreciate that Billy absolutely loves Chazanut. I have heard him belting out the masters, and he loves Chazanim. I've never been threatened about my job, but it's great that you have such love for us, at least for me. Although I won't be the president of the Cantors Assembly for 3 more years, I know that the deep bonds between our organizations will only be enhanced during his presidency. I look forward to watching all of his creativity and passion continue to thrive in the coming years. Mazel tov.
So the gentleman whose nachas meter is going off the charts, whose daughter is the future president of the Cantorial Assembly and son-in-law, incoming president of the Binnacle Assembly, we call now upon Rabbi Gershon's father-in-law, Rabbi Moshe Pomerantz, Rabbi Emeritus of Midchester Jewish Center, Yonkers, New York.
Everyone knows that there are many categories, types, and levels of prayer. This evening is, for me, a wonderfully appropriate, indeed a compelling time to express openly a deeply personal tefillah. A tefillah of todah, behoda'ah, of acknowledgement and gratefulness to the Kodesh Baruch Hu for a number of confluent developments that have uplifted the spirits of my entire family and made our souls soar. It's for one thing the 1 year anniversary of our son Joey's rebirth. That's what it's considered to be by the oncologists. After a horrendous battle with lymphoma and lengthy hospitalization and stem cell transplant, and now remission. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Rofei Cholim. It's also, of course, the occasion of our beloved son-in-law, Rabbi Bill Gershon. His first official public appearance following his critical kidney transplant and the beginning of his wondrous return to health and to strength, for which all of us, probably all of us in this room, have been praying fervently. And of course, his return very soon to full-time pulpit duties and his inspiring rabbinic leadership. And Gott sei Dank, he looks wonderful, doesn't he? Even with his mask. But my wife Kay and I are thrilled and proud to stand with Billy, his wife, our daughter Raquel, their children, his father Jay, and his many admiring colleagues and adoring congregants on this remarkable evening. Pursuant to my daughter Lisa's memories of Billy's first visit to our home in Seattle when he was an undergraduate student, I must tell you, in truth and in candor, that only after one weekend, that first weekend, with Billy. I had absolutely no doubt that he would in future years occupy the pulpit of a major congregation as senior rabbi, and that indeed one day he would be president of this august body. Shomea Tfila, Lord who hears prayer. We pray that your faithful servant, Harav Isar ben Shimon Halevi Beshifra, be blessed with continuing good health, full strength, vitality, and fortitude. May his extraordinary talents and gifts, his keen intellect, his deep thought and clear vision, his broad and comprehensive perspective, his passionate commitment to ongoing learning, and the utilization of every source and every opportunity to grow in knowledge and spirit, his great passion for Torah. As I say these things, I realize that these same words were used by every previous speaker, right? Notice that? It's no accident. It's not just the father-in-law's limited perspective. We pray that all these gifts and strengths enable him as president-elect of the Rabbinical Assembly to lead our organization, indeed all our followers around the globe, with inspiring effectiveness to an ever deeper love of Hashem and an ever increasing commitment to Melechet HaKodesh, the life of sacred service. Yivarcheu Hashem v'yishmerehu. May God bless him and protect him.
Eishechayo Minsa, row 1, seat 2. I now invite Raquel Pomerantz, Gershon, singer, songwriter, Revitzin extraordinaire, to come and lead us in a song.
Thank you. I'll stand here for the speaking portion. When I was invited to sing a song tonight, it was very hard to decide what I should sing. So I finally decided I would write something new, and I looked for inspiration to Sefer Tehillim, to the Book of Psalms. I didn't have to look very far. I chose Psalm 1. It's pertinent. Ashrei Ha'ish. Happy is the man that has not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of Adonai, and in whose laws he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by streams of water that brings forth fruit in its season, and whose leaves do not wither. And everything he does, he will succeed. And thank you to my friend and accompanist, Dvor Elimelech.
Ashrei, 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 Ha'ish, Ashrei.
Going to transition to our formal installation as those who participated in our preliminary greetings descend from the Bima, co-chair of the honored guests, Mishpacha of Rabbi Gershon. We're now going to invite Rabbi Julie Schoenfeld, Executive Vice President of the Rabbinical Assembly, joined by the officers for the formal installation. Let's give them a round of applause.
It is such a pleasure to be here in a sanctuary and a community so full of love and warmth and welcome. And as we turn ourselves now to the sacred purposes of the evening for our organization, the thanking and hakarat hatov of our outgoing president, and the welcome of our incoming president, I first want to express a word of such sincere gratitude and appreciation to the congregation that has done so much for the Rabbinical Assembly in this short time, has supported our work very generously, has created a beautiful evening for us and really done a tremendous amount to create this convention for us. A special note of thanks to our partner, Teresa Hurt. I don't see you, Teresa. from whom I received emails always to offer help at all hours of the day and night. I can't thank you enough. But as was so symbolized by the sort of handoff from one to the other of greeters and welcome as we stepped off the bus, that is really how it has been since the first time I stepped through the doors of this congregation and met each of you. And so it is a special note of love and warmth and welcome. And as is the case with families, we now share the Rabbinical Assembly and this congregation our love of Bill Gershon. And it is a relationship and a sharing that I hope will last for many, many blessed years. I came to the Rabbinical Assembly in 2001 in a different position, and so I've had the opportunity to work with several presidents of the RA by this time. And I must say that it is really something remarkable to behold that a community of rabbis, a community of leaders, cares so much for one another. And that in each of these changes, handing off of the presidency, we feel over and over again that sense of fellowship and friendship among peers. And it is truly remarkable that a group of such extraordinary leaders come forward one at a time to serve as first among equals, because each of our members are people of tremendous talent and leadership and gifts. And then with a great show of love and humility and support, welcomes the next of our friends to serve in this way. In delivering Hakarat HaTov to my... Oh, come up, Jeff. To my, if I may say, dear friend, Jerry Skolnick, I think of the Baraita of Rabbi Meir, the sixth chapter of Pirkei Avot, that begins by saying that the person who studies Torah Lishma for its own sake not only receives countless rewards, but for him was the whole world created. And as I've come to know you very well over these years, Jerry, I come to understand that in a different way. That when one learns Torah Lishma, really for the sacred purposes of bringing our best understanding of God's will into the world, then an infinite number of possibilities emerge. And it has been such a pleasure to work so closely with you, because you have such an unusual amount of Torah and gifts and talent. I am a bit in awe of the fact that we are going from one rabbi who is both a great scholar and also a great musician to another who is a great scholar and a great musician and lover of music. And, you know, people aren't aware. Jerry and I spoke every day, often multiple times a day. You're the only person who uses my home phone number. Otherwise, it's only they call me at the office or the cell. But you find me at home.
You do, me too.
And what is remarkable, Jerry, is your talent. I could call you and on the spur of the moment tell you the issue that the RA needed to speak on, and not only could you, from your lips, as if it had been edited 100 times, deliver several hundred eloquent words, but you always had just the right text. And it is this uncanny ability that you have to bring forward Torah in such an authentic fashion that one of the things I most admire about you is I couldn't predict exactly what your opinion would be on any given issue, because you really responded to each issue for its own sake, searching for what was good and right. And in all of that time, I saw you take many very courageous positions on behalf of our organization and inspire and lead many people, not only here in the United States, but in your trips to Latin America, to Europe, and to Israel, to where you travel tirelessly. So you have probably earned yourself a lot more to do with the RA for many years to come. And it has been a great honor and privilege to work with you.
Thank you so much. Julie, thank you so much for your extraordinarily kind words, and I'm grateful to all of you for such a gracious reception. I add my words of gratitude to Sheareth Israel for welcoming us so warmly and so generously in the truest tradition of both Southern hospitality and Hachnasat Orchim. We are deeply grateful. I have no grand address to deliver this evening. This is Bill's night, and I've had my turn. I am, however, grateful for the opportunity to say thank you for having had this great privilege, and I do so in three brief declarations. First, I wish to thank my colleagues, to all of you, for placing your trust in me and allowing me this opportunity, this rare opportunity, to take 30 plus years of experience in the pulpit and translate them in some small measure into something useful and worthwhile on a larger stage. To my friends here in the North American branch of this movement, Lididenu Hakrovim B'Knesset HaRabbanim B'Yisrael, to my queridos amigos de la familia del Seminario Rabínico Latinoamericano in Buenos Aires, to my colleagues and my friends in Europe, couldn't figure out which language to use for them. too many. As I said when I was installed in my office 2 years ago, I am and I remain, even after 2 years of the presidency, an unabashed fan of rabbis. And I am convinced that the work that we do together is truly avodat HaKodesh. It is sacred work. No matter what area of endeavor we find ourselves in, we share the singularly important role of enhancing an awareness of God's presence in the world, a world that sorely needs it, and of course of bringing the message and the import of Torah to our constituency, which often doesn't know how badly it needs it. There are rarely bouquets of flowers that await us as rabbis, because being a leader will inevitably bring you to make decisions that aren't universally popular. And I learned that in the presidency, as I've learned it time and again in my own rabbinate. But being here together, we should allow ourselves, we should fagin ourselves to admit that the work that we do is vitally important, and by and large, we do it very, very well. It was an honor and a pleasure to represent you in the larger arena. Second, I want to thank my officers who provided me with invaluable support, advice, and encouragement during my presidency. They knew when to nudge me forward, and they knew when to pull me back. They are, 2 of 1, wonderful people and equally wonderful rabbis. and the Rabbinical Assembly is fortunate indeed to have them all in positions of leadership. It has been an honor and a privilege to serve with you. Last but most certainly not least, I'd like to thank Julie, with whom I've worked closely and intensely over these past 2 years. Julie really understated the case. It's not so much that we spoke every day. We spoke oftentimes 2 and 3 and 4 times a day, at all hours. If there's a harder working professional working with a major Jewish organization in this country, I have not yet met him or her. But the measure of Julie's contribution is not to be assessed by the hours that she puts in. Her commitment to you all, to our colleagues in the rabbinate, and I say this also to the Sherith community, to the Jewish community of America and around the world, it is an all-consuming passion for her. And each and every day she brings that passion to bear on the issues, great and small, that impact our daily work and our future well-being. And I would hasten to add that she's also been a good friend. Julie, thank you for your trust and your faith in me, and for the privilege of serving our colleagues together. Thank you. Bill, to see you here this evening, the first words that have to cross my mouth are Baruch Rofei Cholim. Praise be God who heals the sick. I'm grateful to see you here this evening, well on the road to recovery. But I admit that were you not here, I would have gone to your home and dragged you here to make sure that you took over this job. Really, most of the times it's wonderful. And when it's not wonderful, you just say, you know, I need a little bit more rest. May God be with you in your work, and I hope and trust that you know that I will always be here to be of whatever assistance I might offer. To all of you again, thank you for this wonderful opportunity.
I will now call upon the president of the congregation, Todd Shannon, to come forward and receive the Torah mantle from Rabbi Skolnick.
Todd, on behalf of the Rabbinical Assembly's leadership, it's a pleasure to present this Torah mantle to you and to Congregation Sherith Israel. This Torah mantle traditionally resides in the Aron Kodesh of the sitting president of the RA. I know that in my congregation, where most of the Torahs are covered in white, it was a shining example that something was different in the life of the congregation, but they were enormously proud of it in my community in New York, and I know that the Sherith community will be proud of it here in Dallas. Congratulations.
Now, as we prepare for the next stage of our presentation, I want to just say a few words of welcome to Rabbi Gershon in his soon-to-be official capacity. A number of people have mentioned Rabbi Gershon's copious, really limitless, intellect and warmth and desire to teach, and his immense creativity. And it hearkens to the passage in the Torah that speaks of Bezalel, who built the Mishkan.
And of him it says that God endowed him b'chokhmah, b'tvunah, v'da'at, with wisdom and understanding and knowledge, uleharot natan b'libo, and placed in him the desire to teach, the need to teach. And I so associate this with Bill, with Rabbi Gershon, who always, even when you think you've come to the end of a conversation and he doesn't have one more wise thing to say, he does. And it is an inspiration on many, many levels. And I look forward so much, Bill. I have learned so much from you. So much about leadership, so much about relationship, and so much about holding with oneself what one needs to do, must do, and how we reach out to those around us. And I must say that in these past few weeks, and I resonated, Moshe, very much with the depth and the tenor of your prayer. As a friend and not a member of the family, I can only empathize, but to say that I stand here today just full of a tremendous gratitude to Hashem for the miracle that we are here, the miracle. Several weeks ago, Rabbi Gershon and I were sitting in a very drafty hallway at Georgetown University, waiting to attend a lunch with Secretary Kerry. And it was then that Bill told me that a donor had been identified and he would be receiving a kidney transplant only a few weeks before our convention. And Bill continued to tell me everything he planned to do before the convention, after the convention, the meetings he wanted to have, the ideas, the people he wants to communicate with, and what he also wanted to do to support the RA in preparation for this occasion. And I remember thinking to myself, well, this is inspiring, but there's no way that this can actually happen. And then, truly, I can only share with you, over the next several weeks, it has been something of which I am in awe. Because as Rabbi Gershon prepared for his surgery, and obviously did a tremendous amount of preparation for the time that he would be recovering and not here at the congregation, every call I received from him, every text, and there are a lot of texts, and every email was always about something he could do for the RA or for me. Never for himself. I almost have never seen anything like it before. And during that time, I also tried to not trouble him with things, anything that I didn't think really rose to the level. But what would happen is that he would find out about them himself, and he would call me. Again, always with the gesture of what he could do, with an analysis of a problem, with support for the organization, for me very personally, for the people we care about, without stopping and without pause. And the night of the surgery, when I got a text from you, I shouted aloud in my kitchen with joy. And so every installation is a special occasion, there is no doubt. But we will all remember, I hope, for many years to come, the gratitude to Hashem that we all share together in this wonderful occasion. I will turn the program over now to my teacher, my rabbi, my friend, Elliot Dorf, rector and Saul and Ann Dorf, distinguished service professor in philosophy, the American Jewish University.
So the first part of what I'm supposed to do tonight is a formal, namely to install the new executive council and the new officers of the Rabbinical Assembly. So I'm going to ask the new executive council members to please rise. And then I would like to ask our new vice president, Rabbi Phil Scheim, our new treasurer, Rabbi Deborah Newman Kamen, our new financial secretary, Rabbi Stuart Vogel, and our new secretary, Rabbi Harold Kravitz, to rise as well. And installing you, I just want to invoke in your name the qualities that Moses was supposed to take into account when he was appointing the first judges of Israel. They're described differently. Yitro tells him in Exodus chapter 18 that he should appoint Anshei Chayil, Riyarei Elohim, Anshei Emet, Sonei Betza, people of courage, fears of God, people of truth, and those who hate bribes. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 1, when Moses talks about the qualities that he thinks these judges should have, Ve'akachet roshei shivteichem, and I will take as the heads of your tribes, Anashim chachamim v'yeduim, people known for their wisdom. I hope for you and for all of us that all of those qualities are qualities that will be part of the way in which you function for us and for you, for all of us and the people of Israel. Thank you, and you are now installed. And now for our friend Rabbi Bill Gershon. I asked him to send me a CV, just to see what he would send me. And he did send me some things that I did not know about him. As somebody who was myself shaped very much by Camp Ramah, I was pleased to know that he went to Camp Ramah in the Berkshires, and he served as a Rosh Tfilah and Rosh Eidah in Camp Ramah in New England. He was very active in USY and went on USY Israel pilgrimage. So I give you fair warning, if you send your kids to either USY or Ramah, they might become rabbis. Okay. I hope that's not a deterrent for doing that. He was in the joint program, as you've heard, majoring in Bible at the Jewish Theological Seminary and in Ancient Near Eastern Studies at Columbia. He served as the Gabbai of the Seminary Synagogue for Rabbi Saul Lieberman, research assistant to Chancellor Gerson Cohn. After graduating from the Jewish Theological Seminary, he was an associate rabbi with Rabbi Gerwin Broner, Alav HaShalom, as one of the past presidents of the Rabbinical Assembly in Detroit, Michigan, one of the few rabbis to be elected to the UJA Young Leadership Cabinet. He then was the senior rabbi of Bethel Synagogue in Minneapolis for 2 years, serving after Rabbi Castle Abelson, another past president of the Rabbinical Assembly. And he has been the rabbi of Congregation Shei Israel for the past 16 years, and is especially proud of mentoring new and upcoming rabbis, some of whom are Ziegler graduates that I know have loved to work with him, introduced new and creative programs, including building a Habitat for Humanity house right on the synagogue property, a one-month scholar-in-residence program introducing serious and compelling Torah learning to the congregation, and, as you put it, infuse the congregation with a sense of simcha shel mitzvah, the joy of doing a commandment, of doing the commandments. And I must say and then of course he has been very active in APAC. I must say the notion of infusing the congregation with a sense of simcha shel mitzvah really rang true to me, because my first impression of him the first time that I met him was a ball of energy. Better watch out, here he comes, right? And it's so wonderful that he does that, because he comes, as you've heard from all kinds of people now, with intelligence and wisdom and kindness and a real sense of a future goal and a sense of love for the people of Israel and for the land of Israel. And so we all really are very much indebted to him for all of the things that he's done in that way. I have been a teacher of rabbis for 42 years now. Yes, I'm old. So I've come to know a lot of rabbis, and they're all different. Every single rabbi is unique. But what I've come to see is that what they share, what we all share, is not only liking to do the things that rabbis do, but a very deep love for God, Torah, and Israel, and not only for Judaism, but also for Jews. And I must say that if that's what a rabbi is, then Rabbi Gershon is a rabbi par excellence. He really does demonstrate what it means to be committed to God, Torah, and Israel, to love both Judaism and Jews, and to make that love part of what he does each and every day, so that other people will come to like that, so to love those things as well. Jews, though, are an obstreperous group. And you need to know that we're not like other people in this. I do a certain number of programs for the Anti-Defamation League with teachers in Catholic high schools, most of them themselves Catholic. And ADL's interest is, why was the Catholic Church in the place it was in at the beginning of the Second World War such that it did not respond appropriately? And then what happened during the Second Vatican Council that completely revolutionized Catholic-Jewish relations? And I do this program with Father Dennis McManus, who's a professor at Georgetown and the liaison of the U.S. Council of Catholic Bishops to the Vatican. So he's in Rome every other month, and for about 2 weeks he knew Pope John Paul personally, Pope Benedict personally. He also mimics them. He's very funny, actually. But he says to his fellow Catholics, we Catholics are good at reception. We receive what we are told. At which point I tell them, Jews are terrible at reception, right? We question everything, right? So, you know, the standard joke is that where there are two Jews, there are three opinions. Except that somebody came up to me about 20 years ago during a Scotland Residence Weekend and said, do you really need two Jews for three opinions? And if that's true for Jews, all the more so for rabbis. So to lead a group of rabbis takes a lot of courage. In America, we think of the brain as the seat of thought and the heart as the seat of emotions. But in the Bible, the heart was the seat of thought and the kidney was the seat of emotions. Knowing what was coming in being the president of all of these rabbis, Rabbi Gershon wisely got a new kidney. So we all wish him well, both physically and in every other way, as he takes on this responsibility. And frankly, it is a gift to all of us that he has agreed to do this. Rabbi Gershon.
Thank you all so much. It is truly an overwhelming moment. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher yatzar et ha'adam bechokhma, uvarav bo nekavim nekavim, chalulim chalulim. Praise to you, Adonai, our God, sovereign of the universe, who formed humans with wisdom and created within them many openings and cavities. It is obvious in the presence of your glorious throne that if one of them were ruptured, or if one of them were blocked, it would be impossible to exist, to stand in your presence. Baruch Ata Adonai, Rofei Kol Basar Mafli La'asot. Praised are you, God, who heals all flesh and performs wonders. 5 weeks ago, I entered the operating room at Medical City Hospital. In the room next to me lay my donor, already in surgery so that one of his kidneys could be transplanted into my body. 5 weeks later, my donor is in excellent condition, and I am alive and apparently quite well because of his courageous act. There are no words to adequately express the gratitude that my family and I have for the individual who stepped forward to grant me a new lease on life. The idea that a person would willingly give up an organ in order to save my life is beyond comprehension. I am now alive with the possibility of years because of the courage of one person, a mitzvah gedolah mamash. At this moment, I stand on this bima for the very first time since my surgery in the presence of my beloved congregation, members of the Dallas Jewish community, in the presence of my fellow rabbis. I'm overwhelmed by all of the blessings I have been granted in my life. My heart overflows with gratitude for the miracle of healing, for God's restorative power, for the wisdom and the skill of my doctors and surgeon, for the care and concern of my congregation and so many in the Jewish community that reach out to me, for my family's love and support, and for the goodness of human beings to grant the gift of life to another. When one faces the possibility of debilitating illness or even death, life takes on sharper focus. And I am now more focused than ever on the great undertaking placed before me. As I assume the responsibility and the privilege of leading the rabbinical assembly, I am deeply honored and humbled by the trust you, my colleagues, have placed in me. I pray that I will be worthy of your trust. I want to thank Rabbi Elliot Dorf for having installed me. Elliot is one of the true treasures of the conservative movement. Elliot was on my rabbinical school interview committee. Elliot, you're responsible for all of this. And ever since that interview in 1982, you have been a mentor, a teacher, and a friend. Thank you so much for making tonight so meaningful. I want to express my deepest appreciation to all those who participated in tonight's installation, especially my family, Rabbi Moshe Pomerantz, Chazan Elisa Pomerantz Burrow, and Raquel, my Eshet Chayil, my life partner, whose beauty and grace and love fills my life with joy and song. Raquel, you are always there for me and our family. I love you with all my heart and all my soul. Members of my family are present tonight. My wonderful children, Benjamin, Eliana, Yoni is still in Israel on Nativ, and I know that he's here in spirit. My dad, Simon Gershon, my brother, Robbie, my niece, Callie, my mother-in-law, Kay Pomerantz. It's so wonderful to have my family with me. And I recall my beloved mother, Charlotte Gershon, of blessed memory, whose love cradles my soul and sustains me every day. And it means so much to me that friends from Shari Tzedek in Detroit, my first congregation, are here, as well as my colleagues from the Dallas area, rabbis, lay and professional leaders of the institutions of Jewish life of the Dallas community. I want to recognize my teacher, Dr. Mika Goodman, founder of the Aim Prat Beit Midrash and a member of the faculty of the Shalom Hartman Institute, I'm eternally grateful to my congregation, Sherith Israel, for allowing me the opportunity to serve the Jewish people and the conservative movement as president of the Rabbinical Assembly. Sherith Israel is a remarkable synagogue. The members of this congregation possess authentic warmth, a generosity of spirit and giving, and a level of caring that is unique in congregational life. I am blessed to be your rabbi and your friend. Your prayers, cards, emails, texts, words of encouragement uplifted my spirit and aided in my healing. And my love for each of you knows no bounds. And your presence here tonight in such large numbers brings honor not only to me, but to our congregation, to the Rabbinical Assembly, and to the conservative movement. I love all of you. I want to take this opportunity to thank our sisterhood for sponsoring the dessert reception that will follow tonight's program. I also want to express, on behalf of the Rabbinical Assembly, our appreciation to the Federation of Greater Dallas for underwriting tonight's Texas Barbecue for the Rabbis. And to Glazers for providing the liquor and spirits for our convention, Jeffrey Collinger and his team at Spice of Life, thank you for all that you've done. The Rabbinical Assembly cannot accomplish its goals without the largesse of those who believe in our cause. Please note the list of donors in your program who gave so generously to underwrite our convention and the vital work of the Rabbinical Assembly. I cannot thank you all enough. I'm blessed at Sherith Israel to work with an outstanding team, Cousins Repker, Rabbis David Singer, Adam Rothman, and Shira Wallach, our ritual director, Avi Mitzner, Kim West, our COO, Dean Eliezer, our educational director, and our talented professional staff. And a shout out to the one person who keeps me organized and sane, and that's our amazing assistant, Teresa Hertz. Planning a convention is no small task, and Jonathan Birkin and David Rosen, you and your committee have done a superb job. And to Rabbi Ashira Konigsberg, toda rabba, for the hundreds of hours you and your team have worked to make this convention a reality, we thank you all very much. The RA is led by an outstanding team of rabbis and professionals who work countless hours on behalf of the members of the Rabbinical Assembly, the conservative movement, and the Jewish people all around the world. Led by our outstanding, indefatigable executive director, Rabbi Jewel Schoenfeld, along with Rabbis Elliot Schoenberg, Bill Lebo, Carol Leviton, and Shira Konigsberg, and the entire RA professional support staff, we have much to be proud of. I want to recognize Rabbi Joel Myers, our Executive Vice President Emeritus, who is with us. We love you, Joel, so much. It's so wonderful to have you here. We have been truly blessed by the visionary leadership of Rabbi Jerry Skolnick. Jerry, I do not know of anyone who has poured his heart and soul into the work of the Rabbinical Assembly as you have. You've set a high standard of leadership in which to follow. I cherish our friendship, and the RA, the conservative movement, are in your debt for all that you have done. We thank you. I'm looking forward to working closely with my dear friends and fellow officers, Rabbi Phil Scheim, Deborah Newman Kamen, Stuart Vogel, and Harold Kravitz, and with all the newly elected members of the RA Executive Council. As I contemplate the awesome responsibility of taking on the presidency of the RA, I recall the many rabbis and teachers who made an indelible imprint on my rabbinate. But I especially need to mention Rabbi Jacob Friedman, Zichrono Livracha, my Rebbe from my home shul of Temple Beth Torah in New Jersey, Rabbi Gerson D. Cohn, Zichrono Livracha, Chancellor of JTS, for whom I was privileged to serve as his assistant, Rabbi David Hartman, Zichrono Livracha, whose passion and Torah transformed my thinking and emboldened my rabbinate. I've been blessed by the guidance of Rabbi Cass Abelson, Yibadel HaChaim, past president of the RA, and the love and the teachings of my father-in-law, Rabbi Moshe Pomerantz, Yibadel HaChaim. Abba, I could not have achieved what I have achieved in the rabbinate without your example and your counsel. What is the meaning of this hour? What is the task before us? There is no question that the conservative movement faces real and serious challenges. Some might even say that our movement is at a crossroads. Woody Allen has this small essay about crossroads, where he says, you know, humanity is at the crossroads. One road leads to ruin and destruction, and the other road leads to anguish and pain. And then he concludes, let us hope to have the wisdom to choose wisely. We may be at the crossroads, but I refuse to be a pessimist. I'm reminded of that story of the twin brothers whose birthday is fast approaching, and one brother, a pessimist, the other an optimist, and their father is torn as to what to purchase for them for their birthday gift, so he seeks the advice of a psychologist who advises for the pessimist, you should get him a diamond gold-studded watch, and the optimist, you should get him a box of manure. So the father does as the psychologist suggests, and on the morning of the birthday, the brothers wake up and they find their presents, and the pessimist says to his brother, oh, I got a fake watch, it's rhinestones, it doesn't tell time properly, what did you get? To which the optimist responds, oh, I got a pony, except I don't know where they put it. I refuse to be a pessimist. Because if you are a rabbi, your responsibility is to lead and not despair. Abraham Joshua Heschel once remarked that in the face of crisis, the masses despair, but the prophets respond. Ani lo navi velo ben navi. I'm neither a prophet nor the son of prophets, but I am a rav. I am a rabbi, and a rabbi must lead. A rabbi must respond to the needs of his or her generation. And if we don't, we're not rabbis, we're cowards. The Torah commands, you shall follow after the Lord your God. And the Talmud asks, God is a consuming fire. How is it possible to follow after God? And the Gemara answers, follow the ways of God. And my teacher, Rabbi David Hartman of blessed memory, in one of his last public appearances, offered a different answer. Rabbi Hartman said to us, become the Esh, become the fire. Reflect God's passion. And that's what a rabbi must be, a living embodiment of religious passion. Passion for the Torah, passion for the Jewish people, passion for human dignity, and passion for bringing God's presence into this world. I'm optimistic about conservative Judaism because we have within our ranks amazing, talented, and passionate rabbis who are doing remarkable and inspirational work every single day. I believe in the conservative movement because we embrace mitzvot not as coercive acts, but rather as sources of inspiration. We are a covenantal movement who teaches that to be part of the Brit, the covenant, is not an infantilizing experience, but rather an empowering one. It calls on every Jew to become partners with Hashem, with God. To be a conservative Jew means to embrace a vision of Judaism that is the antithesis of passivity. To fight injustice, contribute to the vitality of Am Yisrael, I mean Medinat Yisrael. To be a conservative Jew means, above all, to ascend the ladder of Kiddushah, of holiness, in the spirit of Ma'alim Bakodesh Ve'emoridim. It doesn't matter where on the ladder you are, as long as you are a striving Jew, yearning to climb yet another rung. I believe in conservative Judaism because every current study has shown that conservative Jews comprise a disproportionate number of the leaders of the American Jewish community. And I don't believe it's an accident that conservative Jews lead in record numbers, federations, JCCs, Jewish Family Service, ADL, AIPAC, Israel Bonds, and the list goes on and on. To be a conservative Jew means I have a responsibility and a sacred task to be involved in Jewish life. It is conservative Judaism that made Klal Yisrael, the collective unity of the Jewish people, a sacred value in our generation. The Rabbinical Assembly is uniquely positioned to lead our movement and the Jewish people. It is the voice of the rabbinate that mediates and interprets Torah for our age. It is the rabbinate that needs to speak out in the pressing issues of the day. And our authority derives from our Torah. But being a rabbi in the 21st century is no easy task. The world is changing at a dizzying pace. The old models of family life are no longer the norm. The needs of the synagogue and what it means to create connected communities in the age of the sovereign self upends our notion of what a shul is and what it needs to become in order to speak the language of a new generation of Jews. It is the task of the RA to give rabbis the tools and the resources they need to meet the challenges of our time. And we do a lot in this regard, and I want to praise all of those efforts of my colleagues who work so hard to provide those tools. But we need to do even more. And so I offer the following. Number one, it is my goal to bring together the arms of our movement to create a concise, compelling ideology that will provide focus and vision to our rabbis and laity. Number two, rabbis need to feel that they are part of a shared vision. Whether you are a rabbi in a congregation, day school, chaplaincy, a Jewish agency, or on a college campus, whether you're from Savannah or LA or Toronto, London, Beersheba, or Mexico City, you are part of a shared spiritual language and legacy. You can take pride in being part of a movement which values the legitimacy of pluralism. I remember one of Dr. Gerson Cohen's favorite stories he used to tell about Mordechai Kaplan. When Kaplan first came out with his radical and novel Siddur, Solomon Schechter summoned him and asked him to discontinue his work. And Kaplan turned to Schechter and said, "And if I don't?" To which Schechter replied, "Then you shall continue." We laugh. But to be a conservative Jew in the spirit of Schechter is to be a pluralist. We may not always agree with each other, but we rabbis need to know that we are part of a collective vision that values differing points of view, that encourages questioning and machloket l'shem shamayim, debate for the sake of heaven. And you need to know, every rabbi needs to know, that you are not alone. And the Rabbinical Assembly's task is to make sure that we are connected and that no rabbi feels alone. In our daily prayers, we recite the words, Lilmod, Lilamed, Lishmor, Vlaasot, Ulakayem, et kol divrei Torahtecha biyahava. To learn, to teach, to guard, to do and to uphold the words of the Torah, biyahava, in love. To be a rabbi means to spend your life learning Torah and teaching Torah, and in so doing, inspiring your people to live a life of Torah and to do it all be'ahava, with love. I want every rabbi to know that he or she is loved, that the work that you do matters, no matter how hard it is, no matter how sometimes frustrating it can be. You are loved, and you have the capacity to bring a love of Torah, a love for the Jewish people, and a love for God into the lives of those you lead. The Rabbinical Assembly needs to celebrate your achievements, your creativity, and your ideas. We need to establish a fund to offer grants to rabbis as seed money to foster their creativity and ingenuity, thus supporting, inspiring, and validating their vital and creative work. Number three, we need to take bold steps to share our understanding of Judaism by sponsoring kollelim, centers of learning and outreach in communities throughout North America, indeed throughout the world, and to partner with the United Synagogue of the Conservative Judaism as it sees new kehilot in order to provide cutting-edge support for rabbis who will be building these new communities. Number four, we need to foster a coherent conversation among rabbis to explore a more open and welcoming Judaism. We need to consider new approaches to conversion and outreach while remaining true to our understanding of halakha. Number five, I believe it is time that we open an official office in Washington, D.C. If we are to lead, then our voice and our presence must be heard in the halls of power and policy. Number six, rabbis must feel engaged in the work of the movement and the rabbinical assembly, and so we need new tools, new means of communication, new ways of empowerment, so that rabbis feel connected, informed, involved, and invested in what we are doing. Number seven, the rabbinical assembly needs to be the convener for the arms of our movement so that we can speak with one voice and embrace a united vision. And to that end, I propose, in partnership with the seminaries, the Cantor's Assembly, the United Synagogue, to embark on a major program that will take place or initiative every single year that all of us will contribute to, that will be transformative and compelling for Jews around the world, branded with the conservative movement's unique approach to Jewish life. And number eight, we need to connect in a more organic way with our colleagues in Israel, South America, Europe, across the globe. They need to know and feel that they are part of this vision. We have much to learn from each other. And finally, all of these things take resources. The Rabbinical Assembly needs to get serious about fundraising. Not only seeking grants from foundations, but raising funds from individuals and corporations to support our vision and our holy work. Chevra, I can't do this alone. The Rabbinical Assembly leadership cannot do this alone. We need your help. We need your input, your talents, and your passion. The Gemara says that someone who lives a week without a dream is not a Jew. We are here together to dare to dream. Many years ago, Heschel coined the phrase, dreams are obligations. And I believe that the power of our dreams will be sustained by the depth of our obligations. And so I stand before you on this night and ask you to dream with me. And together we will transform those dreams into commitments. Commitments that we all will share to inspire, to lead, to give voice to our Torah, and to make a difference. This must be our task. I pray it will become our legacy. Lo alecha hamlecha ligmor, v'lo ata ben chalin lipatel bimena. The time is now. The time is short. The task is great. But you and I may not desist from it. History calls upon us to act. The Jewish people needs us to act. The Kadosh Baruch Hu expects us to act. This is the obligation of this time and of this hour. May we live up to the task. Thank you.
We should all get some good energy and some food and drink. It has been an evening of great joy, great vision, and a wonderful future that we look forward to. We thank our friends at Shiraz Israel, and we welcome you to join us for a festive reception.